There we go. This morning I did have a thing to put in the bulletin. It's one of the first times in a long time that the Lord has given me something before Friday or Saturday, and I missed the bulletin. But as I was spending time with the Lord this week, he took me to call the title today, Standing on His Promises, or Standing on the Promises. I thought about just setting my Bible down and standing up on it to give you an illustration, because that's what I'm talking about, is the promises of God's Word, that we can depend on them, we can stand on them. Probably all of you have a scripture that you depend on. When Patsy and I were raising our children, we depended on that scripture that says, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That was one that we stood on it, because that was a while that our children did not walk with the Lord, and so we began to just stand on that promise. Lord, you said, this is what you said in your word. And so we stand on it. And so we finally said, do whatever it takes, Lord, so that they'll walk with you. And he did. And so you can see the fruit of standing on his promises. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, that they are always yes. Hallelujah. That we can depend on you, because you never go back on your word. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we can depend on that. So thank you that you are our dependable God. Hallelujah. Father, as we look at your word today, Lord, you say through me what you want to say. Don't let me get in your way, but allow me to be used by you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin the scripture that I took as a starting point. It's in 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So no matter how many promises that God has made, they're always yes. We don't have to wonder if he's going to go back on his word. He does not. And as I said, probably all of you have a favorite. You have one that you depend on from day to day, or that you think about at least every month. A promise that God has made. And that's one of the reasons that I like to read through the Word every year, because it seems like every time I find a new nugget. Something that God speaks to me with. And so we're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 28. I've used Genesis a lot when I'm preaching, just because there's when God started out making the world, and then people began to walk in the earth, and I have to go back to Abraham and his family, because that's where our promises start. So we're going to start back at the beginning in chapter 28 with Jacob's dream again, beginning with verse 10. It says, Jacob left Beersheba, set out for Haran. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down on to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And this is the verse that I really love. It says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So that includes me. We are all part of all peoples. So it includes you as well. So we're blessed because of Abraham, because of Isaac, and because of Jacob. So where did I stop? Verse 15 says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So here's the promise. He promised that Jacob's descendants would be like dust or stars. You can't count them. And then he also said that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And as you've heard me preach before on this very passage, Bethel means house of God. Then Jacob made a vow. He said, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. So this is where the tithe begins. And it's why we believe that we need to tithe, that we have to. It's something that God has asked us to do. It's part of the principles of God's Word. And the tithe, and I'm not preaching on the tithe this morning, but you know from Scripture that if we'll give God what is due to Him, then He will bless us, He'll watch over us, He'll take care of us. It's one of His promises, again. One of His promises. So, in Jacob, Isaac, Abraham is where our Christian life begins, is where our walk with God begins, where the promises begin. Another one of the promises that I love, and I'm not going to be reading you all of the promises, just a few of them, but let's go now to Jeremiah 29. This has been another one of Patsy and I's favorite promises. Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 29. I'm going to read 10 through 13 today. Verse 11 and 12 is the promise, that another one that we've just loved and stood on. So this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's a lot of good stuff in there, isn't there? A lot of promises. He knows the plan that He has for each one of us. And His plans are not to do us harm or to discourage us, but He's planning to prosper us. He's planning to give us hope and a future. There's plans. And then He goes on to say that you will call upon me and I will pray to me and I will listen. Thank you, Father, that you listen, that you care about what we say. You understand how each one of us are made. And then He goes on to say that we'll seek Him and find Him when we seek Him with all of our heart. So, what is the promise today that you have, that you depend on each day, that gives you hope, part of your plan for the future? Let's go now to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Go back to the front again. Chronicles 20. I'm going to begin in verse 15 here. Second Chronicles 20, verse 15. So it says here, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. As tomorrow march down against them, they will be climbing up by the pass of Zis. You will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle." And so many times we think it's our battle. I don't know how many times I've tried to do it myself. That's not what God wants. He wants us to allow Him fight our battles for us, just as He did here with King Jehoshaphat. He says, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." So it takes an amount of faith for us to stand on the promises. Faith is something that we as Christians desperately need to develop. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to have faith. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat then anointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So, according to the scripture, we can defeat the enemy with our praise. A lot of times it's the little difficulties that we get into, if we'll begin to praise, the Lord will take care of the difficulty. We won't see it anymore. So praise defeats the enemy. Some more good promises in his word. So how do we develop our standing on the promises? How do we learn to develop and to stand without failing, without falling? I'm going to just look at a few scriptures that talk about this and some of the characteristics of God's promises. And the first one is that his promises are unfailing. They cannot fail. He won't let us down. And that first one is found in 1 Kings 8, verse 56. It says, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises that he gave to his servant Moses." So all the promises that he gave to Moses, not one of them failed. So he's not going to fail in any of them that he gives to us. So it's one of the characteristics of his promises is that they are unfailing. The second one that I found is that they are assured by divine ability. Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So we're assured that he is able to do everything that he promised. I've made some promises that I haven't been able to keep. Probably all of us have failed in that in one time or another. But God doesn't have that problem. He's able to keep his promises. And we're assured of that ability. And then the verse that I started with today talks about that all God's promises are yes. And that means that they are grounded in Christ. That verse there in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." And so through him to the amen, though So through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The third characteristic is that they are of infinite value, or there's no end to the value. There are no limits, no bounds. So without there being any boundaries to the promises, we can pretty well depend on all of them. And that one comes out of 2 Peter. Verse 1:4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And the last characteristic that I found was that they culminate or end in everlasting life. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is what he promised us, even eternal life. So, and the promises of God are going to end with eternal life. We talked in Sunday school, there was someone that we were praying for that's at the end of their journey here, and said, I'm ready. She said, I'm ready to go. Isn't it great that we know that we're ready? So it doesn't matter what happens here, because this life is so short. So she's ready for her eternal life. She's ready to give up the pain and the hardship of life here. We want to be with the Lord. Without the promises of His Word, we wouldn't have that ability to know that we're ready to walk into eternal life with our Savior. Without the promises of His Word, we wouldn't have the faith that we have. But because of His promises, we can walk in faith. And there's, as I said, I'm not going to go through all of them because there's hundreds and hundreds of promises. But I'm going to leave that up to you. To each one, it's a different one that means has more meaning for you. Because those two scriptures that I mentioned were promises that Patsy and I have stood on all of our lives, that may not be the ones that are special to you. But seek out the ones that are special to you. Stand on them. Don't let Satan tear them away from you. But stand on them by faith. Continue to walk and believe that God will do for you as He said He would in His Word. So if there's any needs for prayer this morning, if you have anything that you'd like us to pray with you about, that would be great to have you come. If there's anyone here this morning who has never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, we would love to help with that and allow you to come and share that with us, with the body of Christ. So Jamie and Jen lead us in a, or yeah, not Jen, but who we need to send.